Blog Talk Radio.
Carlo Radio. AT&T screwing me around. They're a bunch of liars. Anyway, I want to read a poem by my friend Kathy. Rose in the snow. Cold as the night of winter, dark as a heart of expectations. Kiss of rose, bent heroes. Oddities in the fight, forgiveness or fright. Gaps of motionless work, movement of the heart, rose petals held tight. Hold on, it's all right. Thorns sharpen the grip, protecting beauty at its wit. Snowy rose in the white winter, froze together. Very pretty poem. Thank you for sending me that, Kathy. Really appreciate it. Here's another poem by my friend Greg. To be on your own, no direction known, lying on the floor on the smooth plush carpet, staring at a room that is empty in your heart, lonely, thinking how beautiful the pain you felt in the hospital bed with strange doctors staring down at you, with power to make you live or die. Looking around the room of a father and brother, eyes that are concerned, but still meaningless, no direction known, on your own. My dog thinks I'm strange, running the gauntlet of past pain, running the gauntlet of faith, of life. a lot of the best poems and poets have a lot of pain. It's actually what inspires them to write sometimes, dealing with the pain, confusion, sometimes having no real way to explain their agony. Some people write, draw, some people drink, but we're all trying to deal with the pain. When I was a kid, I was in a lot of pain. I felt very misunderstood. There was a lot of problems in my with my home life. And I hated school. Didn't like the kids. Didn't like the day-to-day irritations of dealing with humans in general, whether they're good, bad, irrelevant, whatever they were. I never really enjoyed being around people as much as maybe they thought. I hit it well is my point. The truth is, I'm a loner. I don't really like being around that many people, especially when I'm forced to be there, like school. So I want to read a poem that had special meaning to me and started my whole idea of poetry, or I don't even know how to explain these. This poem was a revelation to me. It was like a teddy bear. I grabbed it and held on to it, and I've never let go. And most people don't know about this poem or its meaning to me. It's from one of my two favorite poets, both Americans. This one, Edgar Allan Poe, was a great influence in my childhood. I know that sounds murky and eerie and weird, but I related to him, and I read a lot about his personal life, too. Actually, I went to his house in Philadelphia a few years ago. It meant a lot to me to go there. This poem is called Alone, and when I was a kid, I used to ditch school and go to the library. I know that's basically unheard of. Most kids wanted to go play video games or at the burger joint. Not me. I didn't want to be around the other kids ditching school. I wanted to read. My brain wanted to be filled with words. But when I read this poem, it touched me in a way that no poem ever has. Mainly because of my age and my this feeling of being alone. The poem is called Alone. And after I read it, I loved it so much, I could never bear letting it go again. So instead of renting the book with my library card, I ripped the page out of the collection of poems, put it in my pocket, and carried it with me everywhere I went for a long time, until eventually, one day, my jeans were washed, and the poem and dried, and the poem was crumpled up and destroyed. It broke my heart. Here it is. From childhood's hour, I have not been. As others were, I have not seen. As others saw, I could not bring my passions from a common spring. From the same source, I have not taken my sorrow. I could not awaken my heart to joy at the same tone, and all I love, I loved alone. Then, in my childhood, in the dawn of a most stormy life, was drawn from every depth of good and ill, the mystery which binds me still. From the torrent or the fountain, from the red cliff of the mountain, from the sun that round me rolled in its autumn tint of gold, from the lightning in the sky as it passed me flying by, from the thunder and the storm and the cloud that took the form, when the rest of heaven was blue, of the demon in my view. That is
my favorite poem.
Edgar Allan Poe was a tortured individual. They say a lot of it was because possibly he had a like a leak in his where the gas came in to light the house, and he went insane from sniffing that mild amount of natural gas. They didn't have the scent that they put in there nowadays, I guess. This poem I wrote, I don't know when I wrote it. I was a teenager, and it's called Intense Dreams. Escalating intense dreams of blueberries dipped in whipped cream and strawberries on light beams, lighting my intense dreams. Banana cream pies floating in the sky, luscious red tongues and lips licking giant pies. Angels swimming in waves of peace, devils drowning in pools of grease, humans immune to all disease, living forever in my intense dreams. Candy-striped women surrounding me, as honey drips down the trees, along with the bees that fly me away from disease. And gardens of roses that show all the poses and tell me which way the sun goes. And the sky is bright blue with images of you, embraced within the clouds, and for centuries I stare in the heated warm air, mesmerized by your cotton candy hair. Belly dancing gypsies and ruby rock candies and chocolate medallions all dancing the mamba, where the air is of crystals and we dance on the ocean as the seahorses play in the show, where golden yellow sunbeams illuminate the ice cream that we devour with scrumptious joy. And all my friends are there, shrinking and growing, and eating everything as they fade along with the show. And my intense dream, vanilla moonbeams and apples in my head. And I wake up happy with the sun glowing on my drooling, starving smile. I was a hungry, hungry child.
That's no Edgar Allan Poe poem, but I like it. I remember being very hungry a lot when I was a kid, and that poem is the result of my hunger.
Another poem I wanted to read was, I have this book. I wrote this book of poems. My poems got destroyed. Well, when I moved to New Orleans, somebody actually stole most of my poems. I know that sounds weird, but it's true. I had them in a bag in my bedroom, and someone came in one day and stole my TV and my bag of poems, and I lost most of my writings. Katrina destroyed even more writings, Hurricane Katrina. So all I had left was maybe a 100 or two poems that my mom saved for me in her basement. So thank you, Mom, for doing that. Otherwise, I would have nothing at all from my childhood. And my poems mean more to me than anything, even if they suck. So thank God they weren't destroyed. So after Katrina, I got angry because a few hundred more poems that I'd written as an adult were destroyed. So I decided to write a book, and it's called, or publish a book. It's called Twisted Eve, Collection of Poems by Carlo Fiore. About 100 poems in there. No, less than that. But some are good, some are not so good. But they're all from my childhood, so they have a lot of meaning. Here's another one. Myself in Solitude. Not for me, but broken lights, shattered dreams, the jaded peace, jealous stars, the stolen gift, the burning bush, burning trees, death, greed. Not for me. None of that for me. Myself in solitude saved my soul. No sought-after savior, no pope or minister, no heaven above, nor fire below, no heroes to call, no parents or home, no one to care for me, no lover, nothing but made-up hope. Myself in solitude saved my soul. The strength of numbers has less truth than blunders. Myself in solitude saved my soul. And the instinctual knowledge that the harmony of life is nature, and the harmony of the soul is the sound of music. So if we gather together and sing in the field, we can make love. We can make love. We can make sweet, precious love. But nobody does that anymore. So I walk alone and whistle to the trees. Myself in solitude saved my soul. I like that poem. Now I'm going to read some poems from
my favorite, probably my favorite, my other favorite poet of all time. Emily Dickinson. She was an amazing poet. I have a book here called Final Harvest. It's very good. She didn't title her poems. She wrote them all and then bundled them up and sort of hid them away. When it begun, or if there were a time when it was not. It has no future but itself, its infinite contained, its past enlightened to perceive new periods of pain. You know, with just a few words, the woman is amazing. Here's another one. I dwell in possibility, a fairer house than prose, more numerous of windows, superior for doors. Of chambers as the cedars, impregnable of eye, and for an everlasting roof, the gambrels of the sky. Of visitors, the fairest, for occupation, this, the spreading wide my narrow hands to gather paradise. Here's another. Of all the souls that stand create, I have elected one. When sense from spirit flies away and subterfuge is done. When that which is and that which was apart, intrinsic, stand, and this belief drama in the flesh is shifted like a sand. When figures show their royal front and mists are carved away, behold the atom I prefer to all the lists of clay. Last one. Bloom upon the mountain stated, blameless of a name, efflorescence of a sunset reproduced the same. Seed had I, my purple sowing should endow the day, not a tropic of a twilight show itself away. Who for tiling to the mountain come and disappear? Whose be her renown or fading witness is not here. While I state the solemn petals, far as north and east, far as south and west, expanding, culminate in rest, and the mountain to the evening fits his countenance, indicating by no muscle the experience. One was a phenomenon. That's enough about poetry today. To me, the poets are the leaders of questioning of depths of the soul. And they reach my depths of my soul.
they reading a great poem does something to me that nothing else can do. I don't feel as alone. Moving on, I'm very proud of my brother. He writes a blog for DeVry Driven Class. It's called, if you'd like to look it up, just go to thedrivenclass.com and you can read his blogs. They're really good. And here's one he wrote about Martin Luther King. Today is a special day honoring a very driven individual, Martin Luther King Jr. He fought through and rose above intense challenges to rally a community together and let nothing stand in their way to achieve their dreams. Being discriminated against is something I am sure that most people will experience in some form or fashion throughout their life, whether it is within a person's own family, because of a person's financial status, intellect, or even across cultures and skin color. Discrimination can make an appearance. Goes on. I want to celebrate the drive that led a movement and the example he set to keep moving forward towards your goals. So, let's just consider some of these amazing statements. You can have no influence over those for whom you have underlying contempt. The best way to solve any problem is to remove its cause. Take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. We must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. Martin Luther King Jr. was an amazing example for all of us to learn from. The message of making a difference to forcibly prompt change in our culture, country, and people's lives in a nonviolent, peaceable manner is as relevant today as it was when he spoke it decades ago. Martin Luther King Jr. pushed for the best. He pursued change for the better and what is right, but in a manner that does not inspire violence. As many say, we cannot fight violence with violence. What are some ways that we can overcome discrimination to create an open and equal society? Wonderful blog, Nick, and great question. I'm going to read one more quickly. My brother and sister are both great writers. I wish they had more time to write. Here's one he wrote about his beautiful daughter, Eliana. I've blown past lots of opportunities to spend with my family in order to accomplish important things. While most people will say that there is nothing more important than family, we often still get busy and miss critical moments with our family in life. But most of the time, we can actually become much more productive if we allow for some quality time with our loved ones and even do this for ourselves. Recently, I went roller skating with my family, with my wife and our three little ones. It was a bit of a mess, and I was certainly stressed out at moments. But seeing my kids slip and flop and then eventually work their skates into motion was rewarding and funny. My wife and I took turns as well, gliding gracefully around the rink. What was amazing to me was that for a while, I completely forgot about everything that was on my mind. It was like a gigantic eraser swept across my mental chalkboard and freed up a ton of space. With my daughter turning one, we will be following a family tradition, and her first birthday party will be at a Gymboree Play Center. She loves to crawl, climb, explore, run, and pop bubbles while there. It is utter bliss for Eliana, and she's so happy that you can't help but laugh and be happy too. Just look at that smile. Beautiful. Keep writing, Nick. No. My brother has two boys and a girl, and they're all very handsome and beautiful creatures, and I hope they grow up and become successful adults. And I just wanted to mention to him and all parents that, even though I don't have a child, I do remember being one. And I always regret that no one told me, I love music and poetry so much. It took me years to realize that even these were possibilities for me, that I could do these things. If someone would have just put a guitar in my hands when I was a kid or, you know, just guided me a little bit or just asked me what I wanted to do. Everyone knew I loved sports, but, I sure regret not learning to play an instrument. So give your children all the possibilities. capabilities. Let them know that they are capable of doing anything. That's all for today, folks. Here's one more poem by one of the greatest poets. Well, he's a songwriter. He's beautiful. The great Neil Young. See you next week on Carla Radio.
Kathy, how are you?
Hey, I'm glad you didn't go anywhere yet.
I only have 5 seconds. It's going to cut off, Kathy. Thanks
Here's
for calling,
Here's a quick poem. Poor soul, lightning rod.
Wait.
Thunder.
The show's over, Kathy.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll read this next week.
Yes. Please read it next week. Did you hear? I read your poem earlier.
I'll have to listen to it tonight.
Yeah, I read your poem earlier.
Instead of having dessert, I listened to Carlo Radio after dinner.
All right. Thanks, Kathy.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Here's Greg.
Hey, what's up?